Have your Bible this morning, please, if you would. Find again the second chapter of the book of Galatians. The reason I say the word again is because that is where we were last week, Galatians chapter number 2. Last week we began a series that God had laid on my heart that I find communicated in chapter number 2. In verse number 20, the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, and he makes this wonderful defense and definition of the gospel. And he says to them, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." God took that phrase, "the life which I now live," and smote my heart with that as your pastor. And I began to dwell upon that and think about what the Lord was communicating to me. And God just kind of let me see a direction of messages and truths that I could preach to you on the life which I now live. And ultimately, it's a series on the beauty of the Christian life. It's a series on the power of the Christian life, on the display of the Christian life. It's a series that is designed to teach us what it is to know this life once Christ lives in us in a life of faith. And I want it to be a blessing to God's people, and I want it to be an encouragement. Tonight I will preach to you on the confidence part of this verse. And I want it to be a confident booster to you as we live our lives by faith. Before I can get there, though, I need to preach to you the first four chapters of the book, where Paul defends and defines the gospel of the Lord. The little letter that Paul wrote here of six chapters to the churches of Galatia was written with a powerful motivation from the Apostle Paul. And I guess the best picture that I can give to you of his motivation is the fact that picture a mama bear defending her cubs. Sometimes you picture that in the animal kingdom, and sometimes you can picture that in the human kingdom. Amen? A mama bear defending her cubs. The Apostle Paul had come to the region of Galatia, and he had preached to the people there who were Gentile people. He had preached to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus, how that Jesus is the Son of God. How that Jesus had come from heaven and become a man. How that in becoming a man, he lived a sinless life. And how that in living that sinless life in the fullness of time, he went to the cross and he paid and he died and he paid for our sin. Their sin, your sin, my sin. How that he was buried for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he rose again for our sins according to the scripture. And the Apostle Paul had preached to them that if they were going to get to heaven, the only way that they could get to heaven is that they must come by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the folks received that message with great humility and with tremendous reception. And upon their deposit of their faith in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God moved into them individually. And they were inhabited by God, and they began to grow. The Apostle Paul could not stay long in the churches of Galatia in that region. And as he found himself absent of them and moving on, the enemy, that being Satan, began to infiltrate the church. And in his infiltration of the church, go ahead, church, and you're okay. In his infiltration of the church, he sent a group of people called Judaizers. It's imperative that you know the name and understand who they were and what they taught. They were Jews who, in essence, we're trying to earn or merit eternal life by keeping the law. Or in essence, for you and I, because we're not very familiar as Gentiles with something called the Mosaic Law, which is the Ten Commandments, I guess the best way for me to say it for you is they were teaching that in order to be saved, you had to keep the law or you had to do good works that would earn or merit favor. And what they would do is they mixed faith and works. And they taught the church, it's okay if you believe in Jesus, but understand that God has a law, and if you don't keep the law, then you're not going to please God and you're not going to be saved. So they mixed believing in Jesus with also you doing your part. I find that people still believe this today. Countless people believe it's okay for me to believe in Jesus, but Pastor, it can't, salvation cannot just be so simple that it's only by faith. I have to do my part also. Well, I got news for you. There is no work or no part that you can muster within yourself to merit eternal life or to justify yourself. And so, well, you can believe upon Jesus, but you have to belong to this church. No. You can believe upon Jesus, but you also better live this way. No. You can believe upon Jesus, but you also better do these things. No. There is no other work needed to be done for you to be saved other than the work Jesus has already done. Why would you try to reinvent a wheel you cannot reinvent? The work that Jesus has done is he died on the cross, he was buried, and he resurrected, and he is alive. And that alone is the finished atoning work of Jesus. And it is through his work that we find eternal life. It is not through any work that you and I can muster or can merit. And so what the Judaizers were teaching is they were teaching justification by God's grace, but also that you had to earn it as well and to be good. And Paul went nuts over this because the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Faith alone. Now, people don't understand this. They do not understand this. If this was heaven, and I'm God, and you stood before God, and God said to you, "Why do you get to go to heaven?" Think about what you would say. This is what I hear constantly. "Well, I would get to go to heaven because I live a good life. I love God because I've been baptized, because I go to church, because I've been a Christian all my life." Nobody's been a Christian all their life. "I get to go to heaven just because I want to. I get to go to heaven because I haven't done this," or "I get to go to heaven because I have done this." Listen very carefully to Pastor Hunter preaching you the Word of God. If your answer is, "I get to go to heaven because what you are doing or have done," that is not a biblical reason why you get to go to heaven. Salvation has nothing to do with your righteous works that you have done. Salvation is purely by faith. So many people don't understand this. So Paul is preaching to them, and because these Judaizers are wanting to take these new believers and bring them back into some type of position where they're trying to please God by their works and by pleasing God actually as an act or merit of faith or salvation. And Paul's letting them know that that is not the gospel. Listen, the only reason you get to go to heaven is because Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And you have to come through him by faith. So Paul is defending the gospel here in verse number 20. He said, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I," and we use that little word now live, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And that little word now, we said, conjectured three thoughts, right? Contrast, conversion, and confidence. And I spoke to you last week about what that contrast was. And the Apostle Paul was letting them know that there was a time I lived my life a certain way, and now there is a time I live my life a different way. And the way that I'm living now is the way of faith. It's contrasted to the way I used to live. I used to live my life in trusting myself, my good deeds, my good works, my ability somehow to be Christian. I learned that I do not have the ability to do that, and now I live my life by faith in the Son of God. It's a contrast to the way he was living. Look, if you would, please, at Galatians 2, verse number 16. The contrast is very clear here. He says, "Knowing that a man is not justified," by the way, justify is the word of being just, is the doctrine of justification, which is a legal standing that I have. I have committed the crime, but yet I have been declared righteous or in this crime because my crime has been paid for. All of us have committed a crime called sin. And Jesus has paid for that sin on the cross, and through him I can find justification. If I try to justify myself apart from what Jesus has done for me, I'm naked, I'm undone, I'm inept, I'm unable. I cannot provide that covering, therefore there's no legal standing for me for righteousness. So I stand there guilty and condemned for all eternity. I got news for you. You don't have to live like that. Praise the Lord. So he said, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the," what? "Faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." And when I use that phrase, "by the works of the law," he's talking about by no good deeds, by no spiritual effort that I can put out, will I ever find justification against the law. It's impossible for me to do that. Look, if you would, at chapter 3, verse number 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of" who? God. Wow. "It is evident. For the just shall live by" how? "By faith." Now watch what he says after this. "And the law is not of faith." So if justification comes by faith, then justification cannot come through the law because there's no faith in the law. The law is just a demand. It's a duty. It's a restraint. There's no faith in that. The law is not, it's good, it's righteous, it's holy. It declares the holiness of God, but it has not the ability to make a man righteous because of the sinfulness of man. And here's what Paul said. Paul said, "I used to live my life trying somehow to justify myself, trying somehow to manufacture enough good deeds." And he wants you to know it was a hell of a way to live. Frustrating, damning, horrific, maddening way to live. Paul says, think about this. I tried to be so religious, and I tried to follow everything, but I was not perfect and I was not able to do that. And the more that I offered to the Lord in goodness, the more I realized how wicked and sinful that I was. And he said, the more that I lined up against this, the more frustrating. No wonder people hate religion, Because none of us can measure up in a religious attitude. We all know we're not as good as we think we are. And so how would you even know if you offered God enough? So, God, I've had 5 good days of good deeds. Man, I've been kind, I've been loving, I haven't swore, I haven't taken your name in vain, I haven't lusted, I haven't stolen anything, I haven't abused you, I haven't treated my neighbor wrong. I've had 5 good days, but 6th day was a mess. And then God, here's all my good deeds, and God says, what about those ones over there you didn't present to me? No, I didn't want you to see those. Well, I see everything. How would you ever have peace if you had to get to heaven by your good deeds? How would you ever know when you measure the standard? And most people think that God is up here and somehow you, through pain and tragedy and whatever and sacrifice, somehow have done enough merit to where God finally says, you appeased me, you satisfied me. I got news for you. God is not up there waiting for you to come to him. God came down here to be with us through Jesus Christ, or we'd have no hope. And so the Judaizers, they were trying to bring these new believers back into this legal way of living where somehow they were going to please God through their behavior. But the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Paul says, I used to try to find redemption through myself, but I realized the only way now I can find justification is by faith in Jesus Christ. Tell me you understand that. So tell me you didn't sit there and say, well, I'm going because I've been a Christian all my life. Or I'm going because I love God. Who cares? God don't care. Well, I'm going because I'm a Catholic. Who cares? Well, I'm going because I'm a Baptist. Who doubly cares? Well, I'm going because my daddy was a Christian. Who cares? Well, I'm going because I'm not as bad as you. Who cares? When you stand before God, all that's going to matter is that the blood of Jesus cleanse you from your sin. People get this all messed up. Isaiah said, everything we do is before knowing the Lord is a sinful act in our as being based in sin. And people are offering God works that are void of righteousness. Paul said, I used to live like that, but the life I now live is different than that. And really and truthfully, it brings me to the second point. And this is the conversion aspect. And this is what people do not understand. They do not understand the conversion of our lives when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul here, when he says the life which I now live, he's making this statement in a defense of an attitude that the Jews had, right? So the Gentiles had come, they were saved by faith in the Lord. These Jewish men showed up who were Judaizers, and their false teaching made sense. So they said to the Gentile, well, if you're going to please God, then you better obey God, and you better do what God says. Right. However, the Bible says, whatsoever's not of faith is sin. So they were pulling them back under this obedience to the law for a righteous position so that they could somehow merit righteousness or maintain righteousness or please God. And it was all fleshly, and it was all because of their behavior. And the reason that the Jews kind of were directed toward this is because in their mind, the Gentiles were always wicked sinners. Now, I got to understand something. You're either a Jew or a Gentile. How many Gentiles do I have? Say amen. All right, we had a few Jews. But the Jewish people, they just assumed because the Gentile wasn't circumcised, he wasn't under the covenant of God that God gave to Abraham, and because he was apart from the law, he was the most wicked person to ever walk the face of the earth. That was the Jewish mind. Here was God's mind. So are you, Jew. The Bible says, for all have sinned. Right? So they were counting the Gentile to be wicked. Paul in the book of Romans says, oh yeah, by the way, God says that you're wicked too, because we're all sinners. We all need to be saved. So they thought this, if these Gentile believers are saved apart from the law, how would they ever have a holy life? How would they ever live a what they consider to be a maintained or an obedient life? If they're going to live out or be saved apart from the law, then they're going to live apart from the law. And they were afraid that that life would be wicked and it would be sinful and it would be without the leadership of God. And so Paul addresses this. Now, this ain't too deep for you. I can explain this to you. Go, if you would, to verse 17. Hang with me, and I promise you at the end, you're going to be blessed. Paul says, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? What are the last two words of verse 17? God forbid. So there's no way Christ can be the minister of sin. Verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a what? Transgressor. John said that transgressor, that sin is the transgression of the law. So Paul says, if I build those things which I destroyed, I become a transgressor. Now go, if you would, to verse 19. For I, through the law, am what? To the law. That I might what? Okay, so the message is, the life which I now live, dead and alive. You've heard dead or alive. Dead and alive. So here was the Jews' concern. If you've been saved apart from the law, then what's going to keep you holy? And this is what people don't understand today. And Paul says, what you don't understand is what you're saying is, if I'm being justified by Jesus and somehow I find myself as a sinner, if I follow your logic all the way through, then you're telling me that Jesus is leading me into a sinful life. Now, pause right here. Jesus has never sinned, and he would never lead you to sin. Ever. So their philosophy was, you could not live a holy life the way that you were going here. You must come back and restrain under the law. And Paul says, now wait a minute. I'm seeking to be justified through Christ. He is leading me. Are you telling me that Jesus is going to lead me into sin? God forbid he's going to do that. He will not do that. And then Paul goes on to say, you're wanting these new believers to come back under the law and under this responsibility living where they try to satisfy themselves. He says, if I go back and build again those things which I've destroyed, it's going to make me a transgressor. And here's what Paul said. All that the Ten Commandments and the law could do is damn me and tell me that I was guilty and vile and a sinner. And every time that I tried to measure up to the Ten Commandments, I failed. Every time I tried to live a holy life just by myself, I failed. I cannot stop lusting by myself. I cannot stop lying by myself. I cannot stop thieving by myself. I cannot stop damning God by myself. I cannot stop worshiping false idols by myself. And every time you put me under that law, all it does is tell me how bad that I am. And I get condemned and condemned and condemned, and it shows that I am a sinner or a transgressor. Tell me you understand that. Paul says, why would you want to do that? Here's what you don't know. I've got a heart attack. I, through the law, am dead to the law. Dead to the law? Yeah, that means I'm no longer under the restraint. I'm no longer under the power of that as a way with the obligation to obey it in some type of meritorious form. Through the law, I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, let me show you how this unfolds. It's beautiful. Go, if you would, to chapter 3. And look, if you would, please, at verse number 19. Pastor, if all the law could do is tell me how bad I am, why would God give it to me? Okay, So you need to understand some things. All the way from Adam until now, men and women have always been saved only one way, by grace. Period. Through faith. Oh, no, the Jews were saved another way. No, they weren't. He'll teach you that. No, in the Old Testament, they got saved differently. No, they didn't. Every man ever been born has been saved by grace through faith. Period. Well, we live in the age of grace. It's always been grace. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God brought those animal skins of blood as a testimony of grace and of covering of the blood of Jesus. So man has always been saved by grace through faith. Well, then, Pastor, why did God give the law? Perfect. Go, if you would, to verse number 19. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of what? Okay. So, here's what Israel did. They came out of Egypt, and they said, give us a standard in which we can please you, God. Give us a standard in which we can show you how good we are. God said, okay, you want to show me how good you are, and you want to show me how righteous you are just by yourself? Let me give you 10 things to do. And before Moses got down off the mountain, what had they done? They had an orgy down there that was filthy and wicked. They broke almost all of them right there. Moses slams it down in understanding of what they have done. God said, I'll tell you what. If you want to live to where you can go to heaven without me, then you better live perfectly. Because in order for you to get to heaven, you have to know perfection. No sin at all. This is the righteousness of God. By the way, Jesus never sinned. So when he gives those 10 commandments, that is the ultimate display of the righteousness of God. Even before Moses is down the mountain, they've destroyed them. And by the way, we don't live very long when all of us have destroyed them as well. So why was the law added? Why was it given? It was given so that you and I could see that we do not have the ability to be righteous in of ourselves. We would look at those 10 commandments as a mirror and we would say, I am a thief, I am a pervert, I am a luster, I am a false worshiper, I am a denier, I am a liar, I have mistreated my neighbor. God, I don't stand a chance. I'm damned. I'm in trouble. And a man has the audacity to say, I'm not a sinner. I get to go to heaven because I have lived a good life. No, you haven't. Not when it comes to God. So why did God give them that law? Paul says, so you would know that you were a transgressor. Keep reading. It's beautiful. Verse number 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Say those two words. God forbid. No. The law is not against the promise that would come, the promise of faith. The law is not against the promise of salvation that was given to them by faith. Here's what he says. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the what? So Paul says, now, listen. If God could have given a law that could have provided salvation, one would have been given. Here's the problem. Stay with me. It's ain't too deep for you. You can understand this. There is nothing wrong with God's word. But there's something wrong with me. I have a sinful nature and a sinful heart. I cannot do what God's word says to do by myself. There was nothing broken here. It was broken here, and it's broken in your life as well. So if there would have been a law that could have brought about righteousness, sure. Keep reading. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that what? Believe. The promise of Jesus Christ goes all the way back to Abraham when he was promised the seed. And thy seed and all, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Salvation has always been promised through Jesus. It's always been promised to that Messiah. If there had been a given a law that could have done it apart from him, there would have. But the scripture concluded everybody under sin. Why? Because everybody can have faith in Jesus. That's the way to be saved. Watch what the law does. Verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? That we might be what? By how? Go to verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by what? In who? Period. Well, Pastor, everybody's God's child. No, we're not. No, you're not. No. I was not born a child of God. I had to be born again to be a child of God. Everybody is God's creation, but you're only a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And what the law was designed to do was to show me that I am dead, that I am condemned, that I am damned, that I cannot save myself. And it was to enable me to cry out to a Savior to come to Jesus, who lived perfectly and kept every jot and tittle of the law. You believe that? So then when he went to the cross and died as a man, he died sinless. What I cannot do in my sinful flesh, Jesus did as the Son of God. And people are trying to offer up their sinful flesh when salvation is by faith in the one who's already done the work. So why would you say, I get to go because I'm good. I've done the best I can. I love you, God. I've done kind things. I'm way better than so-and-so, Teo. I'm way better. God, listen, I love my parents. I didn't have sex before marriage. I've been married to my wife. God, you have to take me because I'm a good person. No, you're not. We've broken the law of God. And the only thing that brings about justification is I deserve hell. He paid my price. The one who loved me and gave himself for me. And Jesus Christ took my penalty. I get to go because I'm trusting him. And him alone. And God says, enter into the joy of thy reward. People don't get this. So here's what happens. Paul says, what you don't understand is, I've been converted. I came to the point where I realized I could not do it myself. And so I let Jesus stand in my place. And when I came to faith in Jesus, he entered into my life. He entered into me. And the reason that I now will know holiness is not because I try to live to some standard. The life of Christ in me. This is what people don't understand. They think they're a Christian absent of the life of Christ. And they don't understand the power of the Christ life. And they don't understand that when I execute faith upon the Lord, Jesus inhabits me through his Spirit. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God and the Christ that liveth in me. Paul says the reason that these Gentiles can honor the Lord is because Christ is in them. They've been transformed. They have been converted. They've been made new. That's what I meant to say. I hear this all the time. Is my wife in here? Bev, are you in the tunnel? I know my wife. Come here, please. Come on. It's my lovely wife, Beverly. who, somebody better help me with lunch today. So, 25 years ago, we stood at an altar, and I said, the preacher said, do you take this handsome, awesome, loving man to be your lawfully wedded? You said,
absolutely.
Speaking of the mic,
yes,
you said, absolutely, I do. And they asked me, do you take this beautiful, lovely wife to be, or lovely lady to be your wedded wife? And I think I said, I do. And I continue to say, I do. And we stood together, right? Stand right here. When she stands before Jesus, I don't stand with her. She stands by herself. Here's what's happening. You're counting on me to verbalize your faith. Well, that's what I meant. You better know it for yourself. Because you're going to stand there. No mom, no dad, no pastor, no lover, nobody. You by yourself. And you better know that it's by faith in Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Paul said, I've been converted. I've been crucified with Christ. He lives in me. So where do you stand? Before I can ever preach you the display of the beautiful life of faith, you better be trusting Jesus by faith. Would you pray with me, please?